if they'll come.
If it's still calm, I'll come outside. There's air conditioning. I don't know how to be Ovid Hashem without air conditioning. I don't have a Masorim from my Rebbeim on that. That's the Yeridus Adaris. I need a Mahalach in being Ovid Hashem without air conditioning. Maybe you guys will, after Shabbos, you'll tell me the Mahalach, and then I'll come next time. He does. He regretted not when he found out. The Stipler didn't, and he would like be sitting there drenched, and Rav Chaim for a long. The guy, I don't mind moving up. Just when you're up here and you see everybody so far away, it's a little, it's harder to speak. But Rav Chaim, when he saw how good air condition is, he regretted not having it because the Stipler didn't have it. But so we see from there that. Air condition is very essential, so I don't know how to serve Hashem without air condition. Hopefully I'll get there. When it's very hot, when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei and beads of sweat are going down your face. I've never made it through such a Shmoneh Esrei without feeling like... But you guys are greater than me. Okay. So... This will be recorded?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Fine. So I'm speaking Dara Mayot Me'alev. The yeshiva has, we move quickly here. The yeshiva came over to me and said, we're going to talk today, this morning, and I just gave a vada Nefesh HaChaim. And I usually like to think before I speak. But I once heard a yisod from Rav Noach Orlowick that you have to have things you're holding in. So this way, whenever people ask you to speak, you're already prepared. So... I don't have anything I'm holding in, but anyway, but I could open with a joke. No. But I want to talk a little bit about Bilam. Some thoughts that I had about Bilam. Right, that's the Parsha, correct? Parsha's Balak. Agav, the terms Parshias, it's not clear that there's a Makar for Parshias in the Torah. This Parsha might even be called Parshas Bilam, because in the Hilchos Kriya Shema, when the Gemara discusses putting in perhaps something from this week's Parsha, it calls it Parshas Bilam. There are no real Parshias in the Torah. I hate to break that to people, because a lot of times you'll hear a Dvar Torah about the names of Parshias, but there's no clear Makar that there are names for Parshias Bichlal. For example, why do people make a big deal of Parshas Yisro? Yisro got a Parsha in the Torah. That's a Gemara. The Gemara says Yisro got a Parsha. He didn't get Parshas Yisro. Yisro got his Parsha that's about him, meaning the part of Parshas Yisro that talks about Yisro, not the whole Parsha called Yisro. The reason why the names of Parshias are there is that probably secular sources. We know that the King James Bible was responsible for, I've spoken to, I think to Sammy about this once, right? The King James Bible was responsible for making their own organization of what they call the Old Testament, Afer Bepuleim, and they divided it into chapters and all into all these things. And the names of things, a lot of times, could possibly have secular connotations. For example, let's say, Parshas Bo. Right? Why is it called Bo? Because the first verb in the Parsha is Bo. Parshas Re'eh. Why is it called Parshas Re'eh? It's a terrible way to name things, if you think about it. It's not a way to name things by a verb. It's just the first significant word that comes up in the Parsha. So why is this called Parshas Balak? Simply because he was the first person that's mentioned, right, in the Parsha. It's Balak mentioned first before Bilam, the first Pasuk, correct? I didn't do Shnai Mikra yet. What? Wait, so we'll get to that in a second. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but this is what happens when you don't prepare. But it's important to know. So now the names of Parshias do not necessarily have significance. A big kasha you can ask on me, which Avram Chaim Thurm is here. The great Avram Chaim Thurm, who has actually had written a doctorate on this topic. I can't believe he's here. I didn't even realize he's here. So one of the big questions, this went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. What's that? Never got an answer back. But there are some significant things that are indicative of significance of the names of Parshas. For example, the Tkufa called Shovavim. Shovavim stands for Shmos Vaera Bo Beshalach, right? Yisro Mishpatim. And it's a Tkufa during the year that's considered as man of Tshuva, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. So I don't know what to say. That's sort of against what I'm saying. It seems clear that the Arizal gave credence to the names of the Parshas. I could just tell you, though, my theory is that it just, everything's Hashgacha Pratis, but it's just a remes. And my biggest riot to that is that it's not so significant, is because in different years, Shovavim is longer. You know what it's called? Shovavim Tat. You know what the word Tat means? Nothing. It means Truma Tetzava. So that definitely is indicative of the fact that if it works, if it doesn't, it doesn't. And perhaps it's really not all that significant whatsoever. But anyway, this is called Parshas Bilak, but it's really Parshas Bilam. It's really Parshas Bilam. And of course there are Parshias in the Torah, but you have to open up a Sefer Torah to see them. Or in your Chumash, whenever you see a Pei, it's a Parsha. There's either a Parsha Duma or a Parsha Psucha, and there's a significance to all those Parshas. But the Prakim have absolutely no significance, and I've heard from very important people who should know better, Vartz, on the Prakim, and I hate to say it, but it's silly. It's silly. I've heard it from people who really should know better. People who've told me Divrei Torah like this, and I've smiled. I'm talking older and should know better. There's no business making Divrei Torah on Prakim. It's a Christian development. Now, we used it. For example, in the time of the big debates, Pablo Cristiani debated the Ramban, something called the Disputation, which was a very amazing debate between the Christians and the Yidden that happened with King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella commissioned a major debate. This is something you really would have wanted to go to. I mean, if you think a sports event is exciting, to watch the Ramban take on the Christian world, I mean, this was, and you can read about it, it's written up in Kisvei HaRamban, the debate. But we needed a common system to refer to Psukim. When you debate a Krashtin, you need to discuss it on their level. So in a sense, we needed to know the King James, whatever way they organize things, in order to communicate with them, we need a common ground. They did a good job, and it's very useful, Stam, to use their organization, but just to be aware that something secular or not non-Jewish crept into our Tanakh. It's not the end of the world, but definitely don't say drushes on it. I've heard drushes, people say, this is the second pasuk of the second perek, and that's merames to, that answer is merames to nothing. There's no such thing. Okay? It's merames to nothing. But I would ask you to have derech eretz and smile if someone tells you such a dvar Torah. So the same thing is with the names of the parshias. Occasionally Rashi, right? We found Rashi is a makor. Rashi sometimes refers to names of Parshias. What? And many Rishonim. But it's still not, we still have not found, Avram Chaim did some really very Yisodi work, foundation work here, but we still didn't come. Something to do with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right?
It seems like it's in the more Hasidic Shabbat will use it. Lubavitcher clearly used it as the Barbaras. Clearly used it. I asked Avram to Rebbe if you're allowed to use it.
Right. So I would venture to say, who said? See, this is a big statement for Rav Nevinsal. Rav Nevinsal is a Baki Bekol HaTorah Kula. By the way, we have Rav Nevensol in the Old City. Guys, chaperon. Rav Nevensol was Rav Shlomo Zalman's chavrusa. He's a Malach Hashem Svakas. You should be getting brachas from him, asking him questions. He's davens at the coastal every day. He's hiding out in Nativ Aryeh. They have a special seat for him. Chaperon. When I was your age, I would eat Kiddush by Rav Nevensol when I could. He's hiding. There are reasons why he's not so meforsome, but everyone knows who Rav Nevensol is. Rav Nevensol is from the Gedolim, from the real Gedolim today, and he's saying it's a waste of time. That's a huge statement. That's a huge smach. Now, so what I'm trying to say, though, is if you find that Yisro had a Parsha, it means Yisro had the Parsha of Yisro. When it says that B'no Slavchad have a Parsha, it means they have that they were Zocha, that their story made it into the Torah. That's what it's. That's the concept. Anyway, what I want to leave you with, I didn't expect this would take so much time, is an observation about Bilam, which I want you to think about when you're going over the Parsha. There's a word that comes up in this Parsha. It's my own observation, but it's clearly based on Chazal, but it's just fascinating. I didn't do a computer check or count myself how many times this word comes up in this Parsha. But there's a word that comes up, it's like mamish, compared to all the rest of Chumash, the amount of times this word comes up is astonishing. You know what word I'm referring to? The word kavod. Kavod. This whole parsha is about Balak trying to give Bilam kavod. Bilam saying back, I can't accept your kavod because it's not working. There's like this whole thing about kavod. The whole parsha of honor, of trying to get honor, of not being able to get honor, of disgrace, is this week's parsha. It's an amazing situation of honor and embarrassment. Even the story of getting talked to by a donkey is like the ultimate embarrassment. I mean, imagine getting mussar from a donkey. It's like a real bizayin. You know, couldn't at least a cow, something more mechubad, right? But to get to be busy with a donkey, such a bizayin. So I want to just talk about for a minute why this really reflects the whole parsha. And this is really going to tie into Kriya Shema, what we've been doing in Kriya Shema. Basically, the theme of the last shmooze that we gave in yeshiva, aside from my tirade about Jewish music and just to get people worked up. I like to do that, by the way. People don't realize. If I don't get people angry, then people forget the shmooz. My tachlis, a lot of times, is to get people really angry, so they'll speak about it at the dining room. If you don't get people angry, they don't talk about anything. Hey, it's a good trick in general. If you want to be remembered, get people really angry. Yeah, it's a good trick. You have to be willing to take the heat, but you got to say things that get people riled up, or else you're not saying anything that's memorable. But one of the major things that we were saying is there are two types of love, and there are two types of relationships, or really only one type of relationship with others. There's a relationship with someone else, and a relationship with yourself. There's a way of experiencing the world based on someone else's needs, someone else's wants, trying to understand where they're coming from. And then there are people who every time they see someone else, they're thinking, what's in it for them? How am I going to manipulate this situation? How is this good for me? Right? And obviously the first way is a relationship. And the second one is exploitation. It's just it's a form of loving yourself. Loving yourself. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafsha v'chol me'odecha means get out of yourself. There are parts of you that if you want to have a connection that's deep, you have to get out of yourself. You have to get out of your Yetzirah. You have to get out of your finances. You have to get out of sometimes your desire for the things that are most dear to you, your own soul, nefesh itself, your own life experience. And Bilam was given prophecy of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's the polar opposite of the experience of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was called the Anav Mikol Adam. What does that mean? He gave up everything to connect to Hashem. By the way, I just want to explain this very importantly. When you give up things for Hashem, you don't give up anything. Just so you know, you become much bigger. It's kind of like a strange thing. The Yetzer Hara convinces you that when you give up things, you become smaller. You actually become much bigger. It makes a lot of sense. Let's say I'm a human being, right? And I want to just do things for myself. You know how big I can get? As tall as I am right now. Because I'm a human being and I want to just be myself and I only want to connect to myself. If you're attached to Hashem, you're as large as being connected to Hashem. You're that large. But the Yetzer Hara always confuses people and makes them think that if you want to be big, you have to be independent. It's not true. A lot of times when you give up, you become much, much larger, much, much greater. So we have two people in Jewish history who are given the highest level of prophecy. However, Moshe's approach was, I give everything to Hashem, I give everything to the people of Klal Yisrael. Mecheni na misifrecha. Is there a way of losing kavod more than being erased from a sefer? Right, imagine there's a bestseller. I was thinking, let's say I would write a sefer that's totally anonymous, and it was a bestseller. How would I feel? And I like to be honest with myself. My rebbeim told me that it's important to be honest with myself. And I was thinking about this for a while. I was picturing myself writing a sefer that's a bestseller that no one would know about. And I realized that's incredibly difficult. You'll want to have a leak. You'll just like, right? Because, come on. I want to just get a little bit of recognition. By the way, the best is when you write a hidden sefer, and then it becomes a bestseller, and then it leaks, and then you become really famous. It's even better than writing your name from the beginning. Because now you're the hidden mechaber, right? It's even better. It's much more exciting. But that's for people who are really thinking about themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu literally meant Mecheni na misifrecha. It means take me out of Jewish history because I care about the people, Klal Yisrael. I care about the continuation of Kavod Shemayim. It's mind-boggling. So on the one hand, we have someone who was willing to give up everything, right? In the end, he got everything, but he was willing to give up everything. And on the other hand, we have Bilam, where his whole discussion, just read these psukim kipshutim, you're going to see, it's so embarrassing. It's all about the feeling of honor. They're trying to honor him with this, and he's saying, I'd like to be honored, but I can't be honored. It sounds very frum when he's speaking. He sounds very religious. But if you listen behind the lines, not even with Rashi, just listen to the ramifications of what he's saying. What he's saying is like this: I would love honor, but I'm stuck following Hashem. Because Hashem is very strong. That's what he keeps saying over and over again. Because I told you, we'll try over here, we'll try over there, we'll try up here, we'll try down here. We'll try a lot of things. But at the end of the day, Hashem is just too strong, and I just can't get the honor that I would love to have. So Hashem set up two Nevi'im who were given the ultimate power. One used it to make everyone around him great and make Hashem great. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything about Moshe was about realizing the greatness in being devoted to others. Realizing the greatness in being devoted to Hashem. It is a feeling of self-worth. It's the greatest feeling of kavod. It's what we call kavod amiti. You'll never feel more significant than being a yid who's doing something for someone else, who's doing something for Hashem. You'll feel more alive. It's not self-effacing. It's not self-destructive. And then you have Bilam, where the whole idea of having the chill of being the biggest Navi is to see if you can get on the cover of Newsweek. That's his whole nafkamina, is if I'm a big Navi, then I'll be, you know, the most famous person in the world. He took all that's good in the world and he used it for a shtickle of kavod, just to make himself a little bit bigger. And that's what Hashem did over here. Hashem wanted to show the difference between a yid and a goy. That when you give a goy all of this, he'll turn the whole world of everything that's good and everything that's holy in making himself on the cover of a magazine. But when you give a yid this, fakert, Hashem says, anytime, the Gemara says, I think it's the Gemara in Sota, anytime that I give kavod to a yid, they're mevatel themselves. I told Avram Avinu, how great he was, he said, Anochi Afer Ve'efer. I told Moshe Rabbeinu how great he was, it says, V'nachnu Ma. We always make ourselves smaller, and Hashem's the one who's making us greater. And this is a very big lesson of how to really understand what being great is. Being great is being able to think outside yourself, be a person of Hashem, be a person of the people, and then you're as large as Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't one person, he was the entire 600,000 neshamas. You become as big as the people you help. You become as big as that world that you've joined with. You become as big as connected to Hashem Yisbarach. It says that only Hashem Yisbarach is able to be Machayim Mesim, revive the dead. And yet we find that Nevi'im did it. It's not a stira. Those Nevi'im attached themselves so much to Hashem that they were able to do things that only Hashem could do. Because they didn't view it as themselves doing it. Don't look at me, rise the dead. Look at me, who's a clear representative of Hashem, and see what Hashem can do. Become great from being part of Hashem's nation and being part of Hashem's message and Hashem's purpose for the world.